listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 17th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, for our topic tonight on this fine St. Patrick's Day, where everybody's a little bit Irish, we're going to be talking about the spirituality of relationships. And
well,
a lot to go over on that topic.
That's a big one. You know, we toyed with the title Spirituality of, Spirituality in, Relationships and Spirituality, and kind of landing on the spirituality of relationships. So I'd like to first launch into this by saying that everyone is connected spiritually. You know, if we're living on the premise or believing the premise that we're all spirits in a body, come for a visit, then we're all connected, you know. And we could go on and on about how we're all connected energetically, but we are. Just so the spirituality.
Well, a lot of different ways.
Oh, so many. And just the fact that we, you know, are sharing a space as the same species, well, there you go. But the spirituality of relationships basically is, you know, we're one planet, one race, you know, one humanity.
Absolutely. And bound by, common perceptions and shared life experiences. You know, we all have far more in common than we do that differentiates us. But we also have diversity to be celebrated.
Well, and that's what interesting, I think, that how we gravitate toward each other into relationships. And I know that there's the automatic assumption that spirituality in relationships means to say intimate relationships, marriages, etc. But that's not always the case. Spirituality of relationships is also within our friendships, you know, our family, extended family, and the list goes on. Everyone you come in contact with, we're energetically connected somehow. But I think that largely people want to know about relationships as in partners, you know, and in choosing a partner. But do people really choose? You know, they think they do. But there's, you know, that point of, is this the one? I hear this all the time. You know, am I going to meet the one? The one. I'm not so sure there ever is the one. but one with whom you would partner to share? Sure. So let's start out by asking this question. Is there such a thing as a soulmate? That's a double edge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that there couldn't be some kind of, you know, deep spiritual connection from multiple lives and some magical thing that goes on, but I also believe that, you know, true love grows over time. It's not something that you really have at first sight, per se. I think that, you know, there are a lot of people that we could be compatible with, but what makes them so unique to us and what makes them our soulmate is the time and the shared experience and the shared life. And maybe that could transcend different lifetimes if we go back to our talks on, you know, the possibility of reincarnation. And maybe in that way, because you've spent time with this particular soul over a period of time, you gravitate towards that soul again. But then in the infinite, how many soulmates do we have?
It could be lots. I don't know if anybody here has read, or anybody listening in the archives later, has read Jonathan Livingston Seagull, written by Richard Bach. It was put out in the 60s or the 70s. And he was of the thought that everyone is your soulmate. Now, he was a bit of a gypsy at heart. And he'd had a very good friend for a great number of years. And then one day it kind of hit him like a cosmic 2x4 that his best friend is the one he kept going back to. And she waited like 20 years for him to realize that. And so they got married and they're still happily together.
But, that's great.
You know, so he changed his mind about soulmates. You know, he said we have this notion of what that means, you know, of what a soulmate, the idea is. But when you're partnering and you have a mate, you know, that's very different. And are you connected at soul level? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, but can you manage this life together in a partnership? Wendy said something interesting. She says, I don't think we choose. And I have to agree to disagree on this one, Wendy, because I think we do choose, even if it's unconscious. And when you're occupied with, when you're younger especially, with needs or desires, you know, there's all kinds of attractions, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. We believe that it's something, so we say we don't have a choice. You know, we don't choose. But you do have a choice to enter into it. If you can step back and say, is this human being good for my life at all these different levels? Would this individual make a good parent? Would this individual be a good, you know, adventurous yet stabilizing force in my life? Will I always be learning? You know, then, you know, you're choosing consciously, but people generally choose unconsciously. So when we choose unconsciously, then we think we're not choosing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, it's not my fault, you know. But we, for any number of reasons, enter into relationships, and again, generally based on the need of that moment. Stephen says in the chat, soulmates are time dependent, in that as time progresses, two people can easily drift apart. One searches for metaphysics and the other stays in present past, enjoying it over and over. And that can be entirely true. This is something Michael and I addressed before the program. I have met many people in a relationship and it's pretty solid, but mm-hmm. each of them has very different beliefs. Oh, one is Jewish, the other Catholic, one is Hindu, one is Sikh. Some is, you know, pursuing metaphysics and spirituality, and the other has no interest. But they do share these very fundamental applications to life that binds them.
Mm-hmm. The same kind of core principles and the respect mm-hmm. for one another to allow each other to both believe in what they believe and express what they want to express.
And take that journey. So as somebody is kind of moving on, you know, as Stephen is saying, one searching for a, you know, metaphysical meaning to life, and the other's just, we feel like they're back there or over there kind of thing. And but if you, I'm going to tell you all an interesting story. Joan was a woman I knew back in the 80s, and she had been married to Alex at that point for probably 20 years. Now, she at the time was 65, and she came pedaling her bike over, and she was so excited because Alex asked her out. And I, of course, my eyes go big. I said, "What do you mean, Joan?" "Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so happy. Alex actually asked me out. I'm always the one who has to do the asking. I'm always the one taking the initiative. And finally, he asked me out." And I said, "Geez, Joan." I said, because here was the big cosmic 2x4 in my head coming. I said, "How do you live like that then? Isn't that hard to live like that?" She was horrified. She looked at me and she said, "Alex is a good man. I am so happy for him right now. It's a breakthrough in his journey that he's done that. If I'm the one to always initiate things, he's always a willing participant. It's a small thing for me to do to be with a good man."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I deserve that. Because I'm young and I'm still trying to figure things out, and she was way ahead of me. And it was one of those moments when I had to take inventory of what that means in value of relationships. She enjoyed her life with Alex, and they eventually, I think they were married 40 years before she passed. And so she...
And that's...
It's just a good story and a good reminder that you can have a very valuable relationship even though certain things aren't perfect.
Well, what is perfection?
Exactly.
There is no perfection. Perfection is subjective, and therefore it's going to be different to every person. And it is not fair to expect perfection from a partner in life, you know, from your spiritual partner. And we have to understand that we're human beings, that we're all trying to make it through life, and we're all just trying to find happiness. We're all trying to find a way to make it through each day. And we do that with the relationships we build. And, you know, we have a lot of deep relationships in our lives. You know, we have the friends that become our family. We have, you know, our romantic partners who become life partners who become our spiritual partners. We have our, you know, hopefully, you know, children in many cases. We have our parents, our mentors. And we don't get through this life on our own. We rely on one another to support one another in different times of need. And we have it within us to find strength within us, but we also are there for each other. We have those relationships with one another to make it through this crazy world. And that's a wonderful thing. And there's a spirituality in and of that in itself.
I totally agree, Michael. Well said. I think that the 80s and 90s made us a little bit narcissistic in that, what are your needs? Everybody has these needs. Well, he's not fulfilling my needs. She's not fulfilling my needs. Well, what are your needs? Because they could change next week. You know, we have different needs at different times in our lives. So is it really looking for somebody to entertain you for what you need today? Or is it that you really need somebody to be respectful and kind? What are the needs? So I think that when we even look at the 9 principles that you read off the top of the program, Michael, if we have that at the core, no matter what we may or may not believe, somebody believes in aliens, somebody doesn't, but we're still living as, you know, good human beings, then I think that it kind of levels out, as you say, Michael, we're all trying to get through it together. And if you find a partner who basically is just a good partner who is respectful and kind. And, you know, I kind of like eccentric people in a way myself, yeah, a little bit of colorful stuff. But
interesting people.
You know, somebody who's actually a participant. And this is what I mean by somebody to participate in the relationship like you are a couple. So the next really big point that I wanted to bring up is about that, and you kind of alluded to this too, Michael, it's what's at the core, you know, with, the core of who we are. If you're in a relationship, that's as important to you as you are to yourself. Everything in the world then is extraneous. Because what I see constantly is people putting the world first, the relationship second. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that parents have to work. You know, you got to earn the money to feed the kids. But it's still your kids who are the core of your life.
Right.
You know, and if we only kind of screw it up when we start thinking other things are more important than your kids and their well-being. The same thing happens when somebody puts their value of their self on how well they do at a job,
right,
how well they're performing out in the world. You know, my friends are so important to me. And there's that shift. So you're not actually living in your body. You're certainly not living in the relationship. Somebody is at home in the relationship by themselves.
Right.
You see, so it's the happiest people I know, it's the relationship, home, and family first. That no matter what goes on in life, how far you go out there in the world, you come home to that sanctuary, the one you're sharing your life with. And when that happens, like, that's a big bingo, you know?
Yeah.
Bingo. So that's a good one. And that's where I think that the me generation, the...
Wait, who are you talking about?
No, but I'm
not
just
not my generation.
The self-esteem movement was great, except it took people a little bit over the edge. You know, how do I feel? How do I feel? Well, you know what? Today I feel like crap, but I'm still going to do these things, and I'm still going to put, you know... my well-being and my family first, you know, and that's how you continue to have that fire in you. It's when things kind of, you know, your identity is out there and not in here, you know, as Dr. Kelly would say, the them esteem.
Well, and it just comes back to needing a balance.
Yeah, then it gets messed up. You lose that sense of spirituality. And I can generally look at people and know if they're in their body. And what I mean by that is, like, they're grounded in who they are. And Dr. Kelly would say that it's someone who is self-possessed. You know who you are. And when you're living from the inside outward, then you know better what's required. And basically, the requirement is just to be at peace with who you are and be able to navigate life. And if you can find somebody who's the same, much the same, different expression of that same, then you've got a good partner. And I think no matter what happens in life, you manage to keep it together. I love talking to people, interviewing people. Many years ago, I asked lots of people who'd been married 50 years and longer. And yeah, they have existed. What keeps you together? What has kept you together in marriage that long? Oh, you know, they all are kind of shocked at the question. They say, oh, well, it didn't occur to me to be anywhere else.
Yeah.
They'll all refer to a time in their life where it was really difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, the 50s were hard. Oh, the 60s. I wasn't sure we'd get through them, but we did. There was nowhere else to be.
Right. And I think, you know, some of it is a little bit generational, where you have some that have been together for so long, but it's been a toxic relationship. And there's a toxic spirituality that gets to your core when you're in a toxic relationship. And
absolutely,
it's unfortunate that some people have stayed together when they shouldn't have. But it is also, it's also a better world when if it's not working and you realize this isn't a good fit and people drift apart, as Dr. Steven had alluded to earlier, that you can find the right fit for you, because we do change over time. Mm-hmm. And it is a wonderful thing if somebody has a true soulmate that might transcend time and space. But I don't know how common that is. And even if you do, are you going to meet them in each and every life? Given the wondrous complexity of life and the fact that there is so much that is unknown, you know, we might go entire centuries without our soul being present on this earth. Mm. It just, I don't, who knows how it works? I certainly don't and won't claim that I do, but yeah. There's, you know, there's a lot that goes into that kind of thinking. And a healthier world where we can, as a culture, feel free to end a toxic relationship to find a healthy relationship that will bring us happiness, that will help bring meaning into life, and that will bring family into life. And
I agree. Yeah.
You know, and I also think that, you know, I think the biggest piece of tonight's discussion really is on, you know, romantic relationships or life partners and people that are going to be together. But I think that, you know, for me, close friends have really gotten me through some tough times, and they've become family, and those relationships are key, and there's a spirituality to that too. And, you know, there's nothing like a good bromance. I don't know if what the female equivalent is, but movies like I Love You Man and things like that have shown it in pop culture. But, you know, just two good friends who don't have that kind of, you know, there's not anything romantic about it, but there's a definite soul connection, and you connect on a lot of levels, and you're there for one another. And isn't that a wonderful thing about life? That's a wonderful thing about being human. That is what it is to be the human animal. How lucky are we that we got to be human beings and we got to experience that kind of social connection?
A lot of people do not believe that, you know, human beings are monogamous. Fair enough. It's whatever you think it is. As long as you're upfront about that, you know, things go really astray when people withhold who they are just to get the relationship. And they're not being honest with their partner and so on. This is a whole therapy session, but it's really about being forthright and honest about kind of what's going on. The dysfunctional relationships, I think all relationships are well-intended.
Mm-hmm.
They start out in the right way, but you don't always know that somebody is a drug addict, an alcoholic, you know, a porn addict or a gambler. You don't always know those things, you know, and it takes life experience and a certain insight and wisdom to know what you're looking at, and you don't. Or it happens that somebody's been together for 10 years and suddenly somebody becomes an alcoholic. Well, and that becomes toxic. And so sometimes relationships are not meant to be, because we're all easily seduced by the world these days, and I think that is one of the core problems about why it's so hard to keep a spiritual connection intact, is because the world is kind of crazy and toxic. And bravo to those who can weather those storms and be able to be there for each other in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Again, though, I'm totally on board. If it's toxic, it's got to go. And because you can't change people to what you want. So the minute that a relationship is toxic, you're really in it by yourself. Because you know you're in a dream, not a real partnership with a real human being.
That's the truth.
You're just in a dream. So you got the right dream, wrong partner.
Yeah.
So, but there's a lot of things involved: ego, pride, fear. You know, lots of those things.
And an understanding that we're all different, and there are different kinds of people. So, as to your point earlier, you know, not everybody's monogamous. I think, you know, probably a majority, if it's even a slim one, of humans by nature are monogamous. You know, it helps keep other things out of the way, like jealousy and things like that. And some people are just comfortable being with, you know, that person. And you know, that's probably the kind of, I've always envisioned myself as that kind of person. But I understand that there are other types of people out there. There are people that are comfortable in an open relationship, and that's great for them if it works. And it's all about if you connect in that way, if you trust one another, if you can maintain that trust, and what your expectations are.
Well, I think in my experience as a counselor, there's always one who eventually tires of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, that it is part of life's adventure, right? It feels right and it's adventurous, but then after a while, it's not a good
fit. Everything gets old.
You know, look, I've met so many different kinds of people in different relationships, and a couple that I knew, they were really desperate for money. They had a couple of kids. So she ended up being an escort service. Hmm. And she was making a lot of money. And the husband, after a while, said, okay, we're good. I'm making enough money. You don't have to do that anymore. She says, but I like it and I make a lot of money. And she wouldn't give it up. And of course, by the time she's talking to me, I said, well, you knew that would happen, that eventually. She said, but I like who I am. And I can't argue with that. She's comfortable. I said, well, something's got to go, the marriage or your work. And she let go of the marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we can analyze what we may think is all involved there, and we're probably right on a lot of points, but that's the free will zone of the universe, right?
Right.
That's her thing, and to be respectful of that. And so somebody changed the rules midstream, well, you know, that happens too. Yeah, we both want kids, and then 2 years in it, well, no, I changed my mind, I don't want kids. Yeah, you see, there's a lot of dynamic in life. There's a lot of different experiences that change people or help to influence somebody's development and their evolution. And we have to respect that everybody has their own trip in that way. But spiritually, we remain connected. And I always say, if you're going to have kids with somebody, be prepared. That's a life sentence.
<You know? laughs> That's
going to be a connection. And we can see that when you have kids. Whether you like that connection or not isn't the point. But that is going to be a life connection. So that spiritually connected through having children, that remains. Mm-hmm. So if we see it in that way, that whatever energy that we have created, you know, between ourselves in a relationship, that is a frequency that does sustain. So hopefully we do it in a good way that's not, and even ending relationships, we hope it's in a good way. That's not always possible.
This
actually
is true.
Rarely possible.
You know, when you have two healthy adults who are reasonable, it can be possible. And unfortunately, when you have two reasonable adults, they usually get along with one another and they usually don't go through that.
Well, you know, I did. I was very young when I dated this one fellow. We had a great time, and then one day we both looked at each other and said, you know, we've had a great time, but it might be time. And mm-hmm. we both looked at each other and said, yeah, it's time to end. And he said, well, you know, I've been thinking about moving to here. And I went, good for you. You know, and it was such an amicable thing. We stayed in touch for many, many years. I haven't connected with him for about 5 now, but he got married and moved on. I have such respect for that because it was very healthy. And most people I can stay friends with, but that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. You know, some things don't always end nice, they end ugly. But I think that if we can have more compassion for ourselves and remember what the fundamental parts of life is to exist as a human being on this planet, you know, and the basic code of ethics, we get along much better, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Ethics is a wonderful thing. It helps us get through this world in a more civilized fashion. And when you think about right and wrong and good and evil, and I know this is a little aside, it really does come down to what is good is usually what's best for the population as a whole. What is evil is what is beneficial for the individual at the expense of everyone else.
Yeah.
And that ties right in with our, you know, perceptions being the human animal, being social creatures. And there's a truth to it, too.
Sorry, I just got to say, a lot of time we collapse into ourselves and take relationships for granted. And I see marriages treating each other like they're siblings, you know, or friends treating each other like your 10-year-old siblings. And sometimes it crosses the line, and it's the maturity that we're all hoping to achieve to be more conscious. And that doesn't mean we don't have fun. We have a lot of fun without poking people. See? So you poke people long enough, they go away. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And so we're all in this together, right? So however we decide to manifest our life in the sharing of relationships is a spiritual experience, period. It is. I believe that.
That's absolutely true. You know, no one is an island, and it's just wonderful that we have this ability to enjoy the company of one another throughout this life. How boring would it be to be isolated and all alone? Oh, the lack of interesting people.
Oh, you mean COVID?
I know. I think 2020's bleeding into 2021 a little bit, but I think it's coming to an end.
You know, it's such an education, isn't it, to really take inventory of who we are when we have to be alone and know you can't go to the store and go shopping, go for lunch, go here, go there. You know, I have to just stay quiet for a moment, you know. Oh, you mean like they did for 50,000 years, because to go anywhere was on foot or by horseback and that would take you 3 days.
Yeah. really changes the dynamic when it changes does. It from a 10-minute drive to a, you know, hike with the potential life-threatening consequences. It really.
This is true. I mean, the city that I for the most part of my life grew up in, if we would go to this, like, a neighboring thing of half an hour away, like a little lake or something. That's a whole day event. Driving a half an hour was a whole day event. Pack your lunches and go. And now people just drive there because it's all city. Everything is so big that's like, I'll be back, you know, by coffee time.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, I remember that when that was a whole day affair. You know, it's so life being so fast.
Well,
that's my point. It's, I think, very fast.
And that's a whole other area when talking about the modern life, how fast it is, technology, how that's influenced our relationships. Has that had a denigrating effect to spirituality and relationships like so many believe? Or is the human spirit going to persevere throughout the new technology, the faster-paced world? And will the healthy spiritual relationships with one another continue?
Well, I like to believe, and I know there's a lot of other great minds. I'm not putting myself in that category, but I'm just following their lead.
I'll put
you
in that category. Go ahead.
We will persevere, and we will survive this, no matter, you know, how it comes about. But it's, what kind of a species do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And who do we want to be as human beings? Like, that's the ultimate thing, right? Who do you want to be? What do you want to represent? And what do you want people to say about you after you're gone? Like, that's huge. That's a huge question. You know, how do you want people to see you when you're gone? What do you want them to be able to say? And, it's live your life as true as you can. If you're in a toxic relationship, take inventory, talk to somebody, maybe sort it out a little bit. Say, is this the time? Is this a place that can overcome? Or is this a place I need to, like, run for the hills?
and listen to your instinct when it's run for the hills.
Ooh, yes.
You'll be buying, you'll be saving yourself some heartache and trouble.
And whether it's friendships or actually an intimate relationship, when you enter into it, get to know somebody. I don't think Steve Harvey is too far off when he says no intimacy for 3 months. Get to know somebody. You know, it's like, who are they? And hang out with them and ask them questions, and don't get into that sexual intimacy until you're really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, everybody's got their own thing. I think if we could slow things down a little more, you know, we would be more connected to that spiritual element of what makes us feel good mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Is this a good fit for me? You know, that's, you know,
yep.
Those are the questions ultimately.
And it's going to be different from person to person. But
sure, yeah.
Great points you've made, Dr. Hunter. This has been an interesting discussion.
And you. So should we pick some cards?
I think it's going to get to be that time of the evening.
And Jamil is all over that. He just put it in the chat. Card, please. We've got that. So we're going to move into this next segment of our program, Michael. What do you say?
I say it's a good time. We've had a great discussion. And, you know, there's so many avenues we can go down, and I think we only touched the surface on some of the topics. But, yeah, great discussion. And I think we'll see how the Inner Oracle cards from ICMH and the tarot cards kind of pair together with this.
Let's see.
All right. So, Jamil, I have number 4, past, present, and future.
Oh, good one.
The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Oh, Jamil, 2 cards came out. I'm going to go with 2 cards here. The first one's the 3 of spades, which it really indicates some disappointment, perhaps disappointment or maybe a heartache. But the world is the other card that came up with that. So if there's some layer or level of emotion that you're working on healing, because past, present, future, and yet what I'm picking up in these symbols is working into, you know, an acceptance, making peace with something. If you're feeling hurt, you may always feel hurt, and that's just got to be okay. If a disappointment in someone or something or how things went, maybe it was a series of events, you know, and you're still healing from that, it's just saying the world's open for you now. So past, present, future, you know, be in this present moment and move forward, because I see a lot of doors open. Actually, and I mean that intuitively, I literally see doors opening for you. So
that's interesting.
That's really cool. Yeah.
All right.
What do we got for Dr. Edward?
Number 23 in the Inner Oracle deck, meaning and purpose.
All right.
The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Well, Edward, I love it that the Hierophant came up. That's, the old meaning of that would be conformity, how we conform to routines and so on. I think a more contemporized version of this symbol is stability and home and comfort and how you find order in your life. So that meaning and purpose and what is the meaning of your life,
mm-hmm.
and finding that sense of purpose is rooted in how you feel in your home and your stability. So that's an affirmation, I think, to you that it's good right now. Things are good, you know, and you might want to do a little, again, intuition, right? I got a flash. Might want to do a little feng shui or some kind of you know, moving furniture around and getting some energy flow in there that just makes you feel better. And it is spring, a little bit uplifting.
Yeah.
Shuffle things around a bit.
And that's really interesting. I don't recall hearing that tarot card before.
Oh, it's a good one. I like it.
I love it. All right, we have Audra next. And I have number 14, Energy Shift New Chapter, going along with that
Oh.
spring. We made it through daylight saving time. We lost our hour, and we're moving forward. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Well, I picked up the Six of Spades and I said, well, what is that about? So I picked up the Six of Clubs. Look, they just come out. I'm just telling you. So a six is a service number. Six is social. It likes to feel connected. It's loyal. It's committed. There's a lot of elements about a six, and the fact that you got two of them here, certainly it's indicating in this new shift that you are feeling a little bit of pressure, and that's with that Six of Spades. But the destiny is in, it's in sight, and the Six of Clubs is assuring a good outcome. So you have to keep that energy moving, Audra. Keep that energy going, one step in front of the other. Even though you have enough, oh man, this morning sucks, or this has been a hard week, you're getting through it and you're getting closer and closer to these new achievements for yourself and these new goals. So having a moment, hang in there, because good things are around the corner. You're in an energy shift. It's a big one. It's good. You'll like it, but taking the step through the corridor can feel a little scary. So.
Very nice. It's change is always scary, and going through those, I can very much empathize going through those steps myself. But hopefully that provided some insight. And we have Dr. Kevin next,
Hey,
and
Kevin.
I have number 43, expediency. Let's see. All right, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency, others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes a lot of courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct action before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it. Always love that saying.
Kevin, I am going to say though, the Seven of Clubs is just indicating a caution. So it's like learning the difference between a sensory perception versus intuition. Your sensory perception, it's saying one thing, like, oh, but your intuition's saying, yeah, I want to go, let's go. And in other words, there's some frequency that you're following, but you have to know the steps to get there. So I would say in this expediency, knowing when to move forward, it's push the pause button for a moment. That's all you have to do is push the pause button and assess it at all levels. So yeah, you know that you're going to do that, but is today the right day? Or are those the right details? Or is there enough information in line? So don't be too quick. That's all it's saying here. Don't be too quick, but you'll know intuitively and a perception about the exact timing to move ahead. So I'm saying, yeah, there's some moving energy coming around you, but just a little bit of caution about when to act. So, but you'll know, you will.
All right. And we have Wendy.
Hi,
Wendy,
Wendy.
glad to have you with us tonight. And I have number 28, do no harm, do right. Do no harm and do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Well, Wendy, I got judgment, and I love that card. Generally, there's an announcement that comes with it. There's a declaration of sorts. But the do no harm, do right is you might want to make changes and you might want to make an announcement, but let everybody in on it. You know what I'm saying? It's like do a little bit of easing people into your changes. I think you got some big changes coming ahead because you've got big decisions that you're going to be making. So ease people into it so it doesn't cause... look, I'm not saying don't follow what you want to do. I'm just saying that sometimes we're all in this together and it affects other people or influences them. So it's just kind of ease people into it. Otherwise, people say, well, I didn't see that coming, you know, and it's like, whoa, throws everybody off their game. And I'm saying, I think that you've got something really good coming. Just be sensitive to other people may not be quite so willing to be on your boat until they understand and have time to digest it a little bit.
Well, this is true. Although I would say that if these people that are having to deal with Wendy's change have also been the people that have eaten Wendy's food, I think they're going to be okay with it. But it's a...
maybe Wendy will open a restaurant. And everybody say, are you crazy? And we're going, yeah, open a restaurant.
But it's been an interesting night. A lot of changes in the air. And I think it's, you know, definitely, it is in the air. And I think it's exciting because change brings with it, you know, immense possibility. And it can be a wonderful thing. So a lot of good cards.
Well, speaking of changes, everyone, we have spring on Saturday. So the spring equinox is this Saturday. I am going to be having dinner with my oldest daughter and my grandkids. And we have a little ceremony that we do. And boiling an egg, eating the egg, but we take the shell of that egg. See, the egg is symbolic of the seed of life. So let me back up here a minute. And so, you know, we acknowledge the seed of life and that spring with new life coming. So having that egg, we're fertilizing ourselves with new ideas and new life. The shell is our protection. And one of two things happen. You empty your, you know, sacred medicine pouch with last year's shell and give it to the earth. And then put in your new shell, so it's every year it's renewed. Or it is that we just take them to the garden, take those shells and, you know, kind of in the yard. And so that's a protection of the property and in our energy. So it's a really sacred time for me, as much as it is around Yuletide, acknowledging the shifts of life. I really have it in my intuition that after this 20th of March, there are going to be some really big shifts in life. And I think that some changes are afoot. And I'm really excited about these changes for a lot of people. Although I do know that some people are still not doing well, so I can't dismiss that. But I think that we're changing this general consciousness, you know, our collective unconscious, and becoming more awake. So I'm optimistic. But anyway, Saturday's the spring equinox, new day, light a candle, eat an egg, little things. Find your other little ceremonies that you do. Christian Easter, I think, is next month. Easter, by the way, comes from the Norse god Eostre, E-O-S-T-R-E. She was the mother of the springtime. That's one of the things that the Christians couldn't renegotiate to take her name away, but they spelled it different. So they called it Easter, still acknowledging the mother and new life.
Blending of different ideas to convert the masses, but it worked like a Worked like a son of a gun, so hey.
I know what you were going to say.
but you know,
yeah, it is a merging of things.
I've always been curious. What is the egg represents new life or something along those lines?
Yeah, it's fertility. The egg is new life. And
well, it would have been new life if you weren't eating it.
Yeah, but Michael, go with me here.
I kid. Who doesn't love eggs?
Exercise the symbology of it, and just that. Think of it as a ritual that has us remind us who we are, where we are, and to honor life.
Oh, that's
and what
such
it
a good
means,
principle
those
in and of itself.
Meanings of life. So, the relationships in your life. Well, you know, be kind to them. If you're in situations that aren't so good, take opportunity to be around some good people so you know how to compare it and do some thinking about it. You know.
Oh, excellent advice.
It's a good time to reassess and start building new things. That's
well, all. I think, do we have a topic for next week that would fit around that, you think?
Wendy's Place, a restaurant. And just for the sake of people listening in the archives, there's a lot of chatter going on in here about Wendy's restaurant. She said it's not in her future, but it's still chatter, so that's where I got that. I don't know. Let's have an open topic for next week, Michael, shall we?
Yeah, you know, put some thought into it. Maybe we'll have a open discussion, explore some ideas, but... yeah, we'll have to think of something good, maybe even something that coincides a little bit with the equinox, and, you know, it's going to be a good time. Always a good discussion. Always love it when we can come together and explore the metaphysical world, explore awareness, and just explore what it means to be human and share that with one another. So, Dr. Hutter, thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Well, and thanks to everybody who's joined us tonight in the program. That's awesome.
Oh, and thank you for the feedback, to the cards. Thank you for... you know, joining us, and thank you for the, you know, the wonderful stories, the, you know, personal anecdotes. They really add texture and add soul to this discussion. It gives it real life kind of perspectives. So thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having you next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.